The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, which can be found on page 1026 of the Church Bibles. So Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, and Roger's going to explain the rest to us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello to those with whom we share so many memories. Hello to those who don't know us. I say we because Francis is here this morning as well. Amongst those memories was every Monday morning during my time here, during the latter years anyway, when I used to go and meet with Gilbert Kirby. Gilbert Kirby had a real role in leadership in this country. He led the Evangelical Alliance back in the 60s. He was principal of London Bible College, as it was in those days, and many other things. And in his retirement, he was with us here. And he was a great mentor and encouragement to me. Those of you who knew him know that he died. And Connie moved away down to Eastbourne. I was talking to her on the phone the other day. And she'll get to church this morning on her scooter. She's just, not quite the strength she had. But we just think of her today. I think it was shared earlier. But she has heard. During Gilbert's time in leading at London School of Theology, as it's known now, there was a fairly wild group of a younger generation who came in, many of them who became real leaders and are leaders in the evangelical church and movements in this country now. One of them was a particularly kind of wild and difficult young man to handle. His name was Clive, and he married their daughter, Ruth. Clive, he went on to lead, like Gilbert did, the Evangelical Alliance. Well, before that, Youth for Christ, he really revolutionized. And then led Evangelical Alliance to a new stage of ministry and activity. And then he went to the States, and Clive and Ruth, after working with another international organization for some years, they now lead a church in Connecticut. And I didn't know this until Connie shared it, I think, with Roxana, that Clive and Ruth live in Newtown, Connecticut, and so are very involved in what has happened in the last few days. And Connie will feel that. And I just thought, those who knew Connie, should be conscious of that and pray for Connie in her own life there and in this particular consciousness. We're looking at Mary. Just listen to what she said when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth after hearing the extraordinary news. She was to have a son. I don't know quite how you read this, because I want to look this morning briefly at the puzzle of how a peasant woman from an insignificant little village up in the north of Palestine came out with this extraordinary song of rejoicing. Hear the language she uses, and hear the sheer revolutionary spirit which she expresses. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I just want to puzzle over how Mary came out with these extraordinary realities. And just to look at three of them to kind of prepare us and lift us through Christmas in whatever situation, spirit of heart we're in today. And a little memory helps me. I think I've got the right house. I went on to, Google, and my first job many years ago was teaching deep in Dorset, just down the hill from Shaftesbury. And at the top of the hill, down to where I was teaching, there was a dentist surgery. And the dentist was something of a leader and a Christian leader in the community. And I used to go there every Tuesday night, for a Bible study, which he kind of gathered, in the waiting room of his surgery. So we were all sitting around the waiting room in the surgery. I think it was that house, but it's a long time ago. But that's just to trigger the memory. And in the memory is what happened over several weeks one year when we were studying the letter to the Hebrews. And the way I remember it is you recognize what these are? I was trying to get... leading the Bible studies in Hebrews was a local farmer. And I always remember his shiny brown gaiters. And he spoke, it's difficult to be politically correct, really, but, I'm not sure that he had too much of a background of education. He was a man of the soil, and he used to come in from his farm, and he led us through the letter of the Hebrews in a way which lifted my understanding and blessed me with a grasp of that book, which has, helped me through life. And he spoke with a use of Old Testament language and sheer eloquence, which was just wonderful. And I just kind of link what I see in Mary, who, yes, didn't grow up I'm sure with very much education, but had an education in the Word of God and was full of the glorious language and the eloquence of the prophets and the things which had come before. And when prompted by the Spirit, when she goes to visit Elizabeth, the most extraordinary statement of the purposes of God comes out. A song, a statement which takes us through the range of Scripture, which helps us to see the purposes of God from the beginning to the end. Just three things from those words. She went to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, and out came this extraordinary song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Words which we can take from our own hearts, as the church has done over the centuries, singing them week by week if you come from certain traditions. Now, last week, Chris will have linked, well, I checked up and he did, the birth anticipated of Mary with the birth anticipated of this old couple in Jerusalem. If you were here last week, Zechariah and Elizabeth with this miracle child. Let's just draw out the contrast again and freshly. As we look at Palestine, this place which strangely God chose to reveal his ways to humankind. And I love maps, and you remember that, some of you. Just to sort of pick out the course of things over these 2 weeks of what we're looking at. You looked last week at the beginning of Luke chapter 1 and at those verses, and you saw the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, surprised by something totally unexpected, something longed for after 400 years of silence from God, but now coming out so wonderfully in a person who just didn't expect it. And then we move to this girl in this little known village way up in the north. It's up here in Nazareth where this couple, betrothed to be married, are surprised by this extraordinary news. And Mary goes from one place to the other to sing this song. And as we go from one place to the other, let's just think of these two events and the link between them. Because they draw out, as Chris mentioned last week, a great theme of Scripture, which is so powerfully emphasized here. We have two births. First, to this childless couple. Why childless? Because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. It was quite outside any human possibility, outside human logic, outside human experience, outside the laws of nature at their age. In the north, Mary is told of a child to come. You will conceive and give birth to a son. How? Because by all logic, all human experience, all laws of nature, she could not have a child because she was a virgin. And so you have here something linking the two, the old couple and the young couple, and two total impossibilities. And this glorious statement, which comes from the angel in verse 37, how will this be? Well, nothing is impossible with God. And we live in this tension. We live with logic. We live with the laws of nature. We sympathize with Zechariah, you know? He had a tough time last week from Chris. He failed to believe all that he had prayed for and expected. But we live in this world of logic, and two makes four. But all things are possible with God. There is a glorious chemistry which through prayer, through things that we cannot grasp, we are humbled as God takes sovereign action to change things. We see it in the chemistry of our ordinary lives. How God enriches, to anticipate something Mary is going to say, enriches those who humbly are generous like God is generous. And it's always been a mystery to me why receiving support in being involved in Christian work over my life, the biggest givers are always the poor. There's a chemistry which is outside human logic. Let's just pursue it. Take a date line and think of the events BC and AD. Here is Mary, as the life of Jesus begins, just before the division between BC and AD, because they got the scoring, the dating slightly wrong. But she's thinking back, as she does in her song, to Abraham and God's promise to Abraham. And as Chris said last week, with another impossible child. The Lord said, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Nothing is impossible with God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And on through the life of Jesus, he emphasized the same principle. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Job, I know that you can do all things, he eventually comes to in the final chapter. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Through Isaiah, do I lack the strength to rescue you? And we have our own experiences where sometimes we are so oppressed in spirit, so low, so full of questions about what the Lord is doing in life, that we need to hear again, do I lack the strength to rescue you, to be your peace today? I am the Lord. Is anything too hard for me, through Jeremiah? And as you just think of the events of the life of Jesus, the impossibility of his birth, the terror that came to the disciples when he stilled the waters. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? How the cross can be a way for our healing. How the resurrection breaks all human laws of logic and laws of nature. And how one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And our spirits are assaulted by the aggressive atheism of today, where every work of God is questioned and doubted and dismissed with pride and humour and scoffing. And we're bound to be affected. We live in difficult days. But Mary says, nothing is impossible with God. There's a glorious reality about it. And as Paul was to say to the Corinthian church, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And that is true always. It was true here where Paul says, we've now seen in Christ things he prepared. But it's true for the future too. Nothing is impossible with God. What else did Mary say? He's helped his servant Israel, remembering. He didn't forget his promises. The promise he made to Abraham and his descendants forever. It isn't just happening to me now. God is showing his faithfulness in a way that is always true, now and forever. Just follow that for a moment. Here we are, Mary picking up what the angel has already said. The angel said to her, the Lord will give him, your child, the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end. Where did this thought come from? Was the angel saying something original? No. And Mary picked it up, the great theme that is repeated again and again. An alternative version of verse 37, you'll need to check that. The angel said, for no word of God will ever fail. And these were looking back to the time of David specifically, when you will remember the often repeated statement about what will happen to him and his descendants. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And we live in a world where there's a great tension between long-term, well, there's an absence of it, and short-term thinking. And this affects us right across the board. And Mary helps us to escape thinking short-term. And it comes to you in all sorts of ways. You know, some things quite trivial, but just that desire for immediate satisfaction, which will do me, no good. It's just there all the time in our ordinary human reactions to things, where if we think short term, we'll make mistakes about the urges within us, our expenditure, the time we spend on what but could it happen on a deeper level too? As we cry out sometimes in a period of pain and loss and difficulty and mystery in God's purpose. And Mary says to us, and the Word of God says to us, think ahead. Think of where we're all headed for. That time when we will be on our own before the presence and glory of God. Peter picks it up later in the New Testament. He speaks to those who have come to know this Christ of Christmas, this Christ of Bethlehem. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed. All human beings are like grass. Come on, see it clearly. In a world which gets carried away with possessions and position and status, all their glory is like wild flowers. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. I am the living one, said Christ in John's vision. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. This child, Christmas, it's forever. Thirdly, he has scattered those who are proud. This is radical stuff, isn't it? Revolutionary stuff. Challenging every revolutionary there's ever been. He has brought down rulers. He has sent the rich away empty. but he has lifted up the humble. And there comes to us from Mary's song a prompt to check whether we've got our values right. And we live in a huge tension. We live in a society where you've got to possess. You've got to have status. And even Christians will admire each other's cars and electronic equipment and talk about what I've got and what I'm aiming to get. And another miraculous birth. All the themes are there in Mary's song. When Hannah received the impossibility of the birth of Samuel, she prayed similar to what Mary was going to pray, a song of rejoicing. And she anticipated Mary's thoughts. There's no one holy like the Lord. There's no rock like our God. He humbles and he exalts the humble. When Hannah prayed, she said, "The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done. Stop your loud boasting. Silence your proud words. A man does not triumph by his own strength. He humbles some and makes others great. He lifts the poor from the dust. He raises the needy from their misery." And we need to check ourselves and our attitudes and how we relate to everyone we meet through our lives, because that will show whether we've caught this valuation. This child was to grow up and to say not once, but again and again and again, "Many who are first." Do you hear it? I'll have to say it again. "Many who are first." Do you hear it? No, they went away and they quarreled about who would be the greatest. "Many who are first." Do you hear it? No, James and John says, "Can we have a prominent position?" "Many who are first will be last, and the last first." He kept saying it. This whole upside down way of looking at life and other people and my own situation. Jesus says, "Do you see that woman? It's she who will be remembered. I tell you, this widow put more in the offering box than all the others." And we must break free from the stranglehold of thinking which dominates our society. God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. "Humble yourselves then," said Peter at the end of his life from his experience. "Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up in his own good time." There's a glorious beauty about humility. Sometimes it's lacking in Christian leadership. And that child was to grow up and to show it and live it out and to illustrate it in the most powerful way of all. His mercy extends to those who fear him. He will lift up the humble. Mary says, "Get your Christmas right." Christmas changed everything. "I praise God, he is my Saviour," said Mary. Forgiveness comes through him alone. Her arrival at Elizabeth's house caused her baby to leap with joy, in harmony with what was happening in Mary. And the humble will be lifted up, and these things are forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we bless you for Mary's words, inspired by your Spirit. And we ask that you would help us to learn how to walk humbly with our God, and to know the same joy and desire to magnify your name. Lord, we bring to you our own hearts, our own questions, our own joys and our own pain. And we ask that you would touch it all with your values, with your promises which are forever, with your peace that comes through this child, that we might walk, live in humility, in humble gratitude for the coming of this child, for Jesus' sake. Amen.